Welcome to Giant Cocktails, a podcast where two lifelong fans talk about the San Francisco Giants while drinking homemade cocktails. Now, here are your hosts, Ben and Matthew Henry.
Welcome back to another episode of Giant Cocktails. I am your host, Ben Henry, alongside my brother, the imperturbable Matthew Henry. How you doing, Matthew?
Oh, man. Giants are currently second place in the National League West, Ben. I'm feeling great.
I'm feeling pretty good about it, too. I'm feeling pretty good, too. I'm jumping ahead of myself because I usually talk about the standings later in the show, but I was looking at that. You know, the Giants are now in second place in the National League West, but they have a negative run differential. And then you see the Diamondbacks down there in, what are they, fourth place?
Yeah,
with a plus 28 run differential. But then I remembered, you know what? 16 of those runs came in one game. You know, so
baseball, man, baseball.
That's really
sometimes
not representative.
Ben, you need to be imperturbable in order to survive a baseball season.
That's right. That's right. You do have to be imperturbable, and that's why I bring you along, because I'm usually just cynical and cranky.
Well, I've taken a step up from being pessimistic to imperturbable. Maybe in the future I could be totally optimistic again.
Sweet, sweet. So I guess that means we're probably both imperturbable right now.
Right? Probably.
Because I had to ratchet it back down from positive because I was trying to be extra positive.
Yeah.
To counteract your unforeseen negativity. Well, Matthew, It is Sunday afternoon as we are recording this podcast. We just watched the end of the San Francisco Giants game.
That's right. Never a doubt, Ben. Never a doubt.
and a very scary moment happened when Joey Bart was announced as the pinch hitter to face Camilo Doval when he had two runners on base and a run already scored and the game was on the line. And I'm not going to lie to you, Matthew. I was dead certain that the Giants were going to hit a home run. I mean, I was dead certain that Bart was going to hit a home run and the Giants were going to get just, you know, totally barted.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were telling me that Baseball Savant said they had an 88% chance of winning at that point. But well, to me,
they started
really
the inning,
like,
though, with a 96% chance. And then by the time Bart came up, it was 88. And so you and I were talking about that percentage thing and it felt like 1% chance.
It did. It did feel like 1% chance. But you know what? It didn't go Joey's way. He had a check swing grounder to Fitzgerald to end the game. And that made me think, you know, that was the end of his first opportunity at revenge against the Giants. You know, probably the better opportunity because it's in San Francisco.
Right. Yeah.
And he barely played in the series. He appeared in all three games, but, you know, only had at-bats in two of them. And he missed his chance for revenge. I think he went 0 for the series. And I think we dodged a real bullet, but that leads me to my question for the day, Matthew. When you've been wronged, or just feel like you've been wronged, because I think everybody agrees that Joey Bart wasn't wronged, right? I mean, the better catcher is still in San Francisco. But anyway, my question for you is this, Matthew. When you have been wronged, do you like to take revenge or take the high road?
Well, I mean, the right answer is to say to take the high road, right? And
says who?
Well, just between you and me, Ben, mm-hmm. I totally want the revenge.
Yeah. I thought for sure you were going to say the high road, even though I knew that the answer was revenge, because you're always like, oh, I've got to look so, you know, I've got to look pure and, you know, I'm an upstanding citizen and da 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 da.
The high road
so
is what you
take.
The high road. The high road is what you take when the revenge fun thing doesn't work, right? And
Right. Got it. So Joey's going to take the high road in the interviews after the game.
Exactly.
you know, I feel like Joey would have taken the high road no matter what, whether he had hit the game-winning home run or did what he did with the check swing ground out. He's probably going to take the high road because that seems to be the kind of person that he is. But I'm with you. I am not a good person, and I would always choose revenge. Anyway, today is Sunday, April 28th, as we record this podcast. Your San Francisco Giants went 4-2 this week to bring their record to 14-15, only one game under 500. Matthew, that means they're only two games away from being over 500, which I'm pretty sure they haven't been since they won game 107 in 2021.
It feels that way.
It feels that way. It's probably not true, but it feels true. It feels true.
It really does.
But most importantly, they're on a roll. The Giants are unbeaten in their last four series. They've won three of them and tied the one against those lowly D-bags where they let them have 16 runs in a game just so they could feel good about themselves. Because the Giants take the high road. That's what they do. They let other people feel good about themselves. And most importantly, though, they cooled off the New York Mets, taking two out of three against them. And then the Mets have kind of like come back a little bit to earth since then. And then they, you know, did what they needed to do against the Pirates. And so now it's time to check the standings. The San Francisco Giants now stand, as you said, Matthew, in second place. The standings still haven't updated for the...
The Padres are losing going into the bottom of the ninth. So if the Padres lose, then we will stay in second place for sure.
Right. They'll stay in second place, a full game ahead of the Padres, and they would be three games out. Are the Dodgers done already?
They are, yes, they lost today, 3-1.
Oh.
To our good friend, Kevin Gausman.
Oh, of course. Well, there you have it. Then the Giants are in second place in the National League West, three games out. And ahead of the Padres and the D-bags. And let's check over here on the wild card standings. Now, I'm not going to try to figure these out because it's way harder with all these other teams. So as of... Oh, look, the standings just updated. Wow, look at that. All right. They are moving up the ranks. They're still, what? I mean, they're a game and a half out of the last wild card spot. And the last wild card spot is being held by the Cincinnati Reds, and they have the Pirates. They're tied with the Pirates now, and they are half a game behind the Mets in the wild card standings. So things are looking up, right? Things are looking up. The San Francisco Giants, after their very disappointing start to the season, have started to demonstrate that they are the slightly above average team that we all thought they were. And if they keep things up at this pace, they will eventually reach 86 wins, which may or may not be good enough for the second wild card spot.
I'll take it.
And we're going to talk, but Matthew, did you also know that as of Friday, the Giants had played 27 games.
Still early. It's early.
It's early. It's early. Pish posh. Do you know what 162 divided by 27 is?
No.
It's six. It's six exactly. Oh. That means the Giants have now finished effectively their first month of baseball games in a six-month long season. So what we're going to do today is we're going to do a one-month check-in. We're going to see how you and I feel about the San Francisco Giants and where they're at. And we're going to throw some accolades around. We're going to give out some MVP awards. We're going to give out some unsung hero awards and some special awards that we'll talk about a little bit later. But first, you need to ask us our trivia question. Go.
All right. Well, today's trivia question, I'm still stuck on by this whole stolen base thing. You know, still not the stolen base team that I, even Fitzgerald today tried to steal a bag. As a sprint coach, I've got some pointers for him. His takeoff, his acceleration needs some work.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. He doesn't. He's got shin angles are wrong. He's just, there's things that we should work
shin
on.
Shin angles. Yeah. So
it got me looking. And I was looking at the all-time stolen base list for the Giants. And so today's trivia question is, what two players share the 9th and 10th spot on the all-time Giants stolen base list with 263 stolen bases?
I'm going to go with Rickert Fenita and Tsuyoshi Shinjo.
Going back to the classics. I like it.
Yeah. It's been a while. It's been a while, and I had to bring the guys back.
You know that we're referring back to our old form, folks. You know, Ben's going to be pessimistic, but still shout out Rickert Fenita and Tsuyoshi Shinjo, and I'm going to be more optimistic. So this is a true sign. This is a true sign. We will see how wrong Ben is at the end of the episode.
All right.
Enough with the banter. Let's talk cocktails.
Right, Bob. That's right. Whose turn is it now?
What are you drinking, Matthew?
Oh, thank you, Bob. Thanks for asking. I am drinking a gin basil smash. I was at the grocery store the other day, and they had these little pots of fresh basil growing in that you could like transplant into your garden. And this one had lots of basil on it. And I was like, I'm going to do that. So I grabbed it and now tried to transplant it. But I also took some leaves from it today and made the following gin basil smash. It's got 2 ounces of gin, 1 ounce of lemon juice, 2/3 ounces of simple syrup, and 10 basil leaves. You're going to take the basil leaves and the simple syrup and the lemon juice, and you're going to muddle all those together in the bottom of a shaker. And then you're going to add the gin and some ice, and you're going to shake vigorously for 10 to 12 seconds until well chilled. And then you're going to double strain that into a rocks glass with fresh ice and throw a couple of extra basil leaves on top for garnish. What you get is a nice, summery, refreshing herbal drink. Notes of basil, and it just reeks of spring. So that's what I'm drinking today, Bob, a gin basil smash.
That's a tasty cocktail.
It really is, Bob. Really enjoying it.
What are you drinking, Ben?
Well, thank you for asking, Bob. That's very kind of you. I am also drinking a cocktail that reeks of spring.
Maybe that was a poor choice of words.
Oh, no, I think it's great. I think it's great, Matthew. That's just what most people think of when they think of like a relaxing,
a
nice
good smell.
Day.
Yeah, it just reeks.
Just reeks. I love this. It just reeks so strongly.
I'll work on my adjectives for the future. Yeah, I got to bone up on some vocabulary. All right. Anyway, what are you drinking?
Oh, anyway, yeah, what am I drinking? Today I am drinking a slapdash cocktail that I threw together in the last moment because I forgot we were recording early. And that cocktail is, I'm calling the Spring Flower Spritz because it reeks of spring. And to make it reek so wonderfully, it has 1 ounce of gin, 1 ounce of Lillet Rosé, and then 1 ounce of Saint Germain Elderflower Liqueur. I put all of those into a highball glass without any ice, and I stirred vigorously to combine. Then I added my ice, and I topped that off with lemon lime soda, because I didn't have any club soda. So you could go either or here. Anyway, what results is a low ABV cocktail that is very refreshing and, reeks of spring. And that's what I'm drinking today, Bob, the Spring Flower Spritz. It's reektastic.
That's a tasty cocktail.
It's pretty good, actually. I really did enjoy it. It's for one of my slapdashes, it's one of the stronger slaps and the bigger dashes.
Sure.
Or something.
Ben, speaking of reeking.
Yes. Havoc? Maybe. Wreaking havoc?
Sadly, no. But it's time for the 1 month review for the Giants. And maybe reeking is too harsh of a word. I don't think. I mean, we're not in Chicago White Sox, Colorado Rockies territory.
No, I don't know
if we could say we're reeking, but we are decidedly average with a up tilt in potential.
I would say technically we're below average.
Tomato, tomato.
So as of today, 29 games in, they're 14-15. 2 days ago, after they played their 27th game, you subtract a win and a loss, and they were 13-14. So, yeah, slightly below average. But I agree, slowly trending to the positive. And I think this team is starting to show us what it truly is. And I think that's kind of what you can expect after a month. And I think there's a lot more positive signs than negative signs. So, I mean, just to highlight, I think this team's strength, as I have said since spring training, is the pitching and defense. And I think it has continued to demonstrate that those two things are its absolute strengths, and that's how it's going to win baseball games. Its offense, I think, has been disappointing to many, but I think it's just enough to help this team win more often than not. Barely. So that's my season summation. Like, I feel like the Giants have finally established who they are, and I legitimately think that this is the kind of baseball that we can expect for the rest of the season.
Agreed. I think, you know, we now know that the offense is what it is. You know, I don't think we're going to see much more than what we've seen already, which we've talked about in previous episodes, maddeningly inconsistent, but consistent at the same time. And you get the feeling if they can score three runs, then you got a shot. But unfortunately, there are lots of times where they don't score three runs, or at least three runs in nine innings, as we saw on Saturday.
That's right. If they score three runs before the end of the ninth inning, they're probably going to win. If they don't score those three runs before the end of the ninth inning, then they're probably going to lose. And I think that the Pirates series is a perfect example of that.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's okay, because I've seen on social media a lot of people and frankly us too, really harping on the offense. And I think we tend to do that as baseball fans, right? Because that's you know, runs scored and all that is obviously a predictor of winning. But what we don't really tend to focus on is the prevention of runs being equally important when it comes to a success of a baseball team. And so I think we're just kind of this unusual team where we're relying on pitching and defense. That's not the way that most teams go nowadays. Certainly not the way the Dodgers go about it now. But that's the way the Giants have chosen. This is our path, Ben. This is our path. So when we talk about, you had mentioned that we were going to talk about MVPs.
Yes.
I don't imagine any of the MVPs are coming from the offense.
No. No, I mean, remember when Michael Conforto was having a great bounce back, a great walk year way back in the first 2 weeks of the season? It was really like the first 10 days of the season. Remember that?
I do.
Like, if he had continued that all the way through 27 games, he'd probably be on the MVP list. And there's certainly some other guys out there that could be contenders, but no. Mm-hmm. No, nobody on the offense is my MVP. That's okay. For sure.
All right. Well, I've got an MVP candidate that I'm going to throw out there if you don't mind.
All right. Yeah. No. Please go for it.
All right. I'm going with Keaton Wicks.
Keaton Wicks?
Keaton Wicks. Yes.
You mean Keaton? Wait. Do you mean short?
I mean
what?
Keaton Wynn. plus Jordan Hicks.
Oh, so I see.
That is my MVP.
I see. Okay. Okay. Well, I would cry. I would call foul on this if I hadn't already invented Mostyn Plastremski.
That's right.
That's right.
You have no room.
That's right. You know what? Hang on. Let me check with the judges over here.
Okay.
He wants to combine Hicks and Wynn into Keydon.
Yeah. All right. They're going to allow it.
Okay. That's what I thought. Yeah. All right. So my MVP, because these were two positions or slots in the starting rotation that were highly questionable going in to
people had all kinds of doubt, Matthew. Keaton Wynn had never done it before.
Exactly.
Despite the fact that he had done it before.
Well, and then, and also Jordan Hicks had never done it before, right? And so
never pitched in the majors, either of them.
So I there were a lot of us that had our concerns about those two spots, and those two spots have been probably the most consistent spots in our rotation. Well, with the exception of one other, but I think that our starting pitching has been amazing, with the exception of our fifth starter. And which we've already documented is, you know, Blake Snell, that slot there. But Keydon Wicks is my MVP, because they've come in and both of them, and frankly, have been dominating. And I mean, if they have Jordan Hicks's bad outing was five innings and, you know, letting up three runs in five innings, right? I mean, that's a bad outing for Jordan Hicks. We saw Keaton Wynn give up the grand slam early on the first homestand, and then has been lights out since, right? And so these are guys that you now have confidence that when they go out are going to give the Giants a really good chance to win. And so for my money, they are the MVP. My only question mark, especially as it relates to Jordan Hicks, is their goal for him is 150 innings. And so how are they going to manage his innings as they get through the season? Because obviously if the Giants make the postseason, you want Jordan Hicks available. So I'm curious to see how that's going to happen over the next few months. But right now, they're my MVPs.
I think those are very excellent choices. They're wrong. they're totally and completely wrong. But I think excellent choices nonetheless, because you're absolutely right. They have both really, really, I don't want to say stabilized, because maybe Wynn got off to, like, Wynn, I think, has not had a string of great starts as Jordan Hicks has. Like, Hicks has had a string of just great outings the whole season.
Right.
Wynn got off to a little bit of a slower start, but by and large has been very, very good. So I don't think stabilizing is the right word. But I think what they stabilized was the emotions and concerns of Giants Nation.
Yes. They changed me from pessimistic to imperturbable, Ben. I mean, that's a lot.
Right. Right. Yeah. That is a lot. That's a big move for you. And I also want to say I really like how they've kind of just given the big old middle finger to all of the pontiffs and the pundits. That's the word I was looking for out there. You know, many of whom still doubt them. But of course, we know how those East Coast pundits do it. They doubt them until the end of the year when they check the stats one last time and go, wait, what? And then they write some article about how magical they were. So I'm definitely enjoying Keydon Wicks and their contributions to the San Francisco Giants. But as I said, that is totally and completely wrong. They are not the MVP, even if you add them together. Well, okay. Maybe if you add them together, but that's cheating. I don't care if the judges said it was okay.
I'm going
if the judges said it was okay. That's fine. Whatever. But the real MVP so far of the season, Matthew, is none other than team leader and DJ of the clubhouse, even if he does play too much country music, Logan Webb. Logan Webb has demonstrated that he is not just as good as he was last year, but better. He has absolutely come out and absolutely dominated in almost all of his starts this year and has clearly established himself as the de facto, well, not de facto, as the absolute leader of the Giants clubhouse. He's the man.
He is the man.
Like, this team pretty much can expect to win every single game that Logan Webb pitches in. Well, except for the fact that they, except for the offense part, right? Like if they score one run, if they score one run in less than nine innings and Logan Webb is pitching, they're probably going to win. And he has been rock solid all season long, and he's doing it the Logan Webb way. You know, hard hit ground balls, and thereby keeping his pitch count low, letting him go super deep into the game, and giving, therefore, the Giants bullpen effectively a second day off every week.
Yeah.
And beyond that, you know, he's also been a leader off the field, right? Like, he's just out there cheering everybody on when he's not pitching, signing autographs in his weird baseball jersey. And, you know.
You mean his basketball jersey? Is that what you meant?
Sorry, yes, his basketball jersey. Not his baseball jersey. And, you know, I'm not that big of an NBA fan, so it really doesn't bother me that he's a Sacramento Kings fan.
Same.
That's fine. Yeah. It's fine by me. And you know what? Sacramento is Giants territory. So right. There are a lot of Giants fans who are Sacramento Kings fans.
Oh, yeah. So he grew up in Rockland. Yeah. That's Sacramento area. So no right. bad feelings right. about that's your favorite team. Yeah, go for it, Logan.
Right.
Well, you make a compelling argument as Logan Webb being MVP. Logan Webb, can you guess his ERA over his last two starts?
Can I guess it? I'm going to guess zero.
You're correct. Zero ERA leads the major leagues over the last 2 weeks, believe it or not. And career high 19 consecutive innings without an earned run, dating back to his last three starts. So, and for all the reasons that you said before, I mean, Logan Webb has, it's been fun kind of to see him, his trajectory upward has coincided with us doing this podcast. And yeah. Our first year was his first year in the majors, and he wasn't expected to start. He wasn't expected to start then. He started out we were going to start out in the minor leagues. And then I think somebody got injured and he got thrown into the rotation. And I remember mostly about that was that even though he was doing fairly well for a rookie, you know, Gabe Kapler kept saying how they saw more in him and they expected more out of him. And you know, love or hate Gabe Kapler, Gabe Kapler was right.
Stepdad was right.
And so it's been fun to see him just kind of evolve from this rookie who was trying to make his mark on the team to being the team leader in what, three seasons. And so I can't argue if you're going to go with Logan Webb as MVP.
Good. Cause I'm right. This is clearly the right choice.
I think Keaton Wicks is a pretty good choice.
Keaton Wicks. Yeah. Yeah. If he really existed, if he was a real person. Because you're right. One guy pitching twice in the rotation. That's pretty amazing. That's pretty amazing. Yeah, I'm not gonna argue with you on that one. Yeah, it really is interesting, right? Like I would say, the two stars that the Giants have right now are Logan Webb and Camilo Doval. I mean, don't get me wrong, Jung Hoo Lee's he's approaching, but I would say that Webb and Doval have built their fandom over the past 4 years and now are considered to be the absolute elite in the major leagues. And yeah, they both made their debuts in 2021. And yeah, I mean, it's been a great ride to watch them do it. All right. Well, there you go. That is the MVP awards. But we also have another special award. And this award, we kind of had to make it so that the offense guys could get some cred. You know, this is kind of like, I don't know, it's kind of like runner up. It's not even runner up. It's kind of like most improved. You know, most improved award. Yeah. That's the award where you're like, oh, yeah, I won most improved. And then you're like, wait a second.
Well, as a former high school track coach, yeah, we would always have that award as the one that just, you know, that wasn't the MVP, but you wanted to, they were such a good, you know, addition to the team that you wanted to reward them somehow. And so,
right.
You know, most improved was the one that you kind of just, you know, just that was the ubiquitous award that you named.
Yeah. I never won that award because I was always good.
Yeah, same.
Anyway, right. So the award is Unsung Heroes. And I'm going to go first. So here's my story, Matthew. There I was watching the baseball game when one of the stupid Pirates started running on the pitch. And then the other stupid Pirate swung the bat and hit the ball. And so now one of our middle infielders who was moving to cover the bag to take the throw to get said stupid runner had to quickly try to readjust and catch the ball, which coincidentally was hit in his general direction. And unfortunately, it hit him square on the wrist on the fly. And it was clear that it really hurt him. And in that moment, Matthew, I felt a flash of panic and fear as I could see one Nick Ahmed being put on the IL with a broken wrist and out for 6 weeks. And I had to sit down.
It's moments like that that really make you aware of how important a certain player is, isn't it, Ben?
That's right. That's right. Because like, and I got to tell you, Matthew, like I didn't see that coming. Did not see it coming.
I'm scared that Nick Ahmed is injured. Card wasn't high up on your list.
No, it was not anywhere on my list. I mean, this was a guy when they signed him originally. You were like, okay, he's going to be here for half of spring training before they let him go, and Marco Luciano is going to be our shortstop, and you know, I was thinking, you know, Schmidt would be the backup, and Nick Ahmed would never crop up into my head again. And now I'm like, Nick Ahmed is our best defensive player. Like, without a doubt. I mean, in terms of performance, like, his outs above average is absolutely elite. The man has been absolutely rock solid at shortstop. And yes, there was a period of time earlier in the season where his throws were looking a little crazy. And Lamont Wade Jr. was having to do a lot of like leaping and swipe tags. And I think there was a period of time where it was like every other throw from Ahmed was Lamont Wade Jr. reaching up and then tagging the runner out. But since then, he's even corrected that. Yeah. But you know what, Matthew? That's only half of it. Because Nick Ahmed has been good at the plate. I mean, and I never expected that. Like, even as it became clear in spring training that Luciano just wasn't doing it and Nick Ahmed had just did the job on lockdown, I was like, okay, yeah, but he's not going to hit. And it's not like he's not hitting the lights out of the ball, but you know, he's hitting like,
He's hitting 268. He's hitting 268. Which is great. And what's interesting is he's batting 355 against left-handers, which is top five in the majors for the number of bats that he has. So, I was total surprise. 394 on base against lefties.
Right.
So he has given us so much more than I think we thought that he would be able to give. And it's probably not fair to expect this out of him for the rest of the year. But gosh, 1-6 through the season, Ben. And we've got somebody that we haven't had this level of shortstop play probably since 2021 when Brandon Crawford had his career.
Right. And like his WAR overall on his B WAR overall is 0.5, and his defensive WAR is 0.6 at this point in the season. And, you know, I mean, that it's shaping up to be one of his better seasons overall as a major leaguer. And so, I mean, I agree that we shouldn't expect this sort of offense, especially we shouldn't expect how clutch he's been, because he's been rather clutch. Right. But clutch isn't a real thing. But you know what? Well, we're going to get to a different award later, and we're going to talk about clutch. So so it matters. It matters in my heart, even if it doesn't matter in my head. So that is my unsung hero of 2024 so far, Nick Ahmed.
All right. That's an excellent choice, Ben. Excellent choice. Agreed that Nick Ahmed going on the injured list would create all sorts of havoc, I think, on the lineup and on the roster, on the 40-man and 26-man. So, he's proven to be definitely an unsung hero. Now, so my unsung hero, though, I think once you hear his name, you might argue with me that he doesn't qualify for being an unsung hero, but I'm going to give you the caveat.
Okay.
So my unsung hero is Patrick Bailey. And you might say Patrick Bailey, the guy that's, you know, was a gold glove finalist last year. How could he be an unsung hero? And that's right. Got a bobblehead. And I would agree with you, except the offense that we're getting from Patrick Bailey has been amazing. And so I feel like that deserves a little bit of recognition. He had the walk-off on Friday night. He's batting 296 on the season. And so I feel like he has been more than what the Giants thought they were getting. And with the fact that that he's batting lower in the batting order and has proven to be a really important part of that part of the batting order, I'm calling Patrick Bailey my unsung hero.
I definitely agree with this one. I mean, yes, he had a bobblehead, and yes, he got off to a huge start to his career last year. But really, you know, I would say, given the last month, how he performed in September, and then he comes back from spring training, and a lot of people were body shaming poor Mr. Bailey. They said he was, you know.
Sorry, put on a few pounds.
Yeah. And they were calling him out for it. And then I saw people even referring to that when he didn't start the season off so great, right? He wasn't hitting. His throws from home plate were off. He still continues to have more pass balls because, you know, he's trying to frame everything. But, you know, the shine had kind of come off, right? Like, and I, for one, for sure, was not sold on his hitting abilities. And, you know, I kind of just figured, oh, here we go, 220 for the rest of his career, right? And boy, he's proved me wrong. And he's proved everyone else wrong, too. You know, he put on that extra weight so that he could, you know, make sure that he stayed healthy and had the energy through the end of the year. And quite honestly, probably was a little alarmed at how much weight he had lost by the end of 2023.
Yeah.
And I think that all of that has paid huge dividends so far. And he's like our second best hitter on the team. And more importantly, his trajectory right now just continues to go up. And he won the confrontation this weekend against one Joey Bart, right? Hitting the game-winning home run while Joey Bart was catching in the bottom of the ninth inning. If you didn't catch that all, folks, Joey Bart made his first appearance in this series by catching the bottom of the ninth on Friday after not having played at all. So he got to be there and watch that up close and personal as Patrick Bailey sort of put the exclamation point on the whole Bailey-Bart saga. And just sort of reminded us all that what was bad about the Bart saga was how long it took the Giants to finally just get rid of Joey Bart, because Bailey was always the right guy. And I think, you know, we still don't know where his hitting is going to be, but it's definitely not going to be as bad as I had worried. So I agree with this one. Unsung hero so far, the improperly maligned Patrick Bailey. Agreed.
All right. Can I offer an honorable mention?
You may.
Because I feel like we got to give this guy his due. After a couple of down years, we have the resurgence of Lamont Wade Jr.
Woohoo!
And he's currently batting, what, 339, which if he had enough at-bats would place him fourth in the majors just in front of Shohei Ohtani. And granted, he's only had a few at-bats against left-handers. He plays almost exclusively against right-handers, so you have to take that with a grain of salt. But when he's been in there, he has been amazing. And I think we were a little concerned that first base could be, you know, if you recall during the offseason, there was some speculation that the Giants might try and fill the first base spot because they had some question marks there with Flores and Lamont. And, or at least upgrade it there. And Lamont Wade Jr. has come back and really made that moot. And I think, you know, his on-base percentage, also 449 on-base percentage, which when he comes up to bat, you almost expect something to happen. He's going to get on base. And so I think Lamont Wade Jr., we haven't seen late night Lamont yet, but all the time Lamont has been just great. And so I think he deserves an honorable mention on the Unsung Heroes.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree with you. And his defense, especially on saving all of those throws for Nick Ahmed earlier in the season, has been a huge plus. But I do want to say this. Like, he wasn't disappointing last year. I mean, he might have been disappointing to some people, but he had 17 home runs. His batting average was 256. His OPS plus was 119. So he was almost 20% better than league average. He was good last year. But just a lot of that went in the way of walks. And I think it wasn't as flashy. And yeah, he wasn't hitting game-winning home runs. He was just hitting normal, regular, middle-of-the-game home runs. And so that made it feel like he wasn't as good as he was in 2021 when he had a 117 OPS plus and 18 home runs. So I think we're seeing now a consistent, you know, performance out of Lamont Wade Jr. 2 years in a row, and he's looking better than he has ever looked, hitting a 169 OPS plus right now. Totally agree. Unsung hero, Lamont Wade Jr., honorable mention.
Well, that's an interesting point, though, that you make real quick about the timing of the home runs. I mean, it's almost like a Jorge Soler-type home run kind of thing last year, maybe, you know, that where they were just kind of meaningless home runs.
Right.
Rally-killing home runs, if you will, maybe.
Rally-killing home runs. Interesting concept. Well, that does bring us here to this segment of the show, which I see here. Oh, I put in a note here. Did you write that?
Well, we wanted to say a nicer way to say disappointments.
What, you didn't like the title Disappointments? You want a nicer way to say disappointments? Okay, sure.
So ChatGPT recommended unforeseen issues.
Okay. Okay, so this is the Unforeseen Issues Award.
Yes.
Is that we're giving out?
Or Unforeseen Challenges, if you will.
Unforeseen,
you know, which players are experiencing those unforeseen challenges?
Late bloomers, maybe we could call them.
Well, let's hope.
Yeah, the Late Bloomer Award. Or the Not Yet Bloomed Award.
Maybe in the second and third month, they'll get the Most Improved Award.
Maybe they will.
All right. Well,
actually, if I'm giving one of those out, I'm giving it to Joey Bart. All right, continue.
So the first one, we just said his name, so I might as well just throw him out there. Jorge Soler, and he's, what is the stat that you said it was? 3 for 87?
I think he's had 1,000. I think he's had 1,000 people on base this year, and he's only driven in 3 of them in. Andrew Baggerly wrote a little thing about it. I think it was 87 or something like that. But the point is that he has had opportunities to drive in a lot of people, and he only had
3 hits and 87 opportunities.
Ugh. I mean,
I feel like you could have done a better job, Ben.
I mean,
statistically, for a Major League Baseball player of his caliber to only be 3 for 87 with runners on base. How is that even statistically possible?
I mean, we've had this discussion, Matthew. Improbable does not mean impossible. Okay. That's not how probability works. It's not a guarantee. right? You know, you can roll one on a 100-sided die. Like,
right,
just
right.
Because
agreed.
You shouldn't.
So the optimist in me would say then that the improbability will swing the other direction.
No.
And that at some point,
no.
he will have like 50 hits in 87 at-bats, right?
No, no. This is another thing that I hear baseball people say all the time. Oh, it's going to even out. No. No. That is not how probability works either. It might even out, but it also might not. In fact, it's more probable that he'll hit how he normally does from here on out, and his stats will never normalize for the year.
So
if I flip a coin,
and like 100 times in a row it comes up heads,
yes,
then the 101st time, the chances of it coming up heads is still 50-50.
Correct.
That's what you're saying.
Correct.
So it never changes. Okay.
Previous right. results do not guarantee future gains.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm still holding on to the fact that he's going to go like 53-87.
What we can say is what he's done so far has been improbable. And so it is likely that that will change. And the fact is, he is hitting a lot of home runs, right? He has five home runs, and they are prodigious and powerful. Yeah. And so...
Yeah. Rally-killing
you know,
home runs. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Rally-killing home runs.
And where... folks, if you're not unsure what I'm talking about, on Saturday's loss, when the game went into extra innings, you know, the Giants were down by three. And Soler hits a home run with the Manfred runner on second base. And now all of a sudden there's nobody on base and we're down by one. And my thought was if he had gotten a base hit there, then there was more likelihood that they would score three runs that they needed. But as soon as he hit that bases clearing two run home run, then there was just no way they were going to win after that. It was a rally killing home run.
Yes. And I think that only really factors. Well, I mean, I don't know. Psychologically, that can impact the pitcher. Usually, really, though, it only matters because they're pitching out of the stretch or the windup. And I don't know if Bednar has a windup. Don't remember. Don't really care. What I do know is that Soler is not hitting the flashy home runs, and we need more flashy home runs. We want the long ball, but we want it better.
Yes, more timely.
More timely. Yeah. So, and since he has complete 100% control over that, he should just start doing it. All right.
Agreed.
Other unforeseen issues.
I put Matt Chapman on the list.
I don't agree with this one.
I know you're not going to agree, and I'm going to make your argument for you here because I'm looking at his season stats. He's batting .221 so far for the season, and I know you're going to say that that's pretty much the Matt Chapman
that we should have expected.
That's
what he does. Why does everybody think he's better than that?
I guess maybe the issue that I have, maybe it should be Bob Melvin being the disappointment in that we're putting Matt Chapman in the lineup in a spot where we're expecting him to be a better run producer than he's been. And so maybe that's Farhan's fault for not getting the right fit, right? But there's...
Disagree with you there, too.
We clearly are lacking. There's when you get to the fourth and fifth spots in the lineup, and you got a guy hitting .220 or you know whatever. That's not. It doesn't pass the eyeball test. And we're sitting here as fans watching ground balls and strikeouts, and to me that's a disappointment. Benny's a big
fan. Because you're a fan. That's because you're a fan who overemphasizes offense and doesn't care about defense. We were just talking about this at the beginning of the show. Matt Chapman has a 0.9 WAR, B-WAR, 1 month into the season. You multiply that by six, this becomes his third best season ever. This Matt Chapman is helping this team win, and he is doing exactly what we should have expected him to do. He hits .220, and sometimes he runs into one and it goes out of the park, and he plays great defense. If anything, we should be expecting his defense to be a little bit better than it has been. But he's got a 0.9 B-WAR 1 month into the year.
Yeah, defense should be
third
better. That's why I'm calling
career.
It a disappointment. Just what I said. Disappointing. Yes. His defense.
Disappointing.
Kicking them ground balls. Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
right. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, look, folks, if you expected more out of Matt Chapman, you expected the wrong thing. You were getting the Matt Chapman that the that the Blue Jays got. And it's good on defense. This is how this team is built. I disagree. This is not unforeseen, most certainly. Not okay. Unforeseen.
All right. We'll take him off the list. We'll take him off the list. Someone that you can't take off the list, though, is Austin Slater.
Nope.
And he has one role on this team, right? And that's to hit left-handers, to be the fifth outfielder. And right now, the guy is hitting 103. So
is that bad?
That's not good.
Yeah, no, it's not good. I mean, he needs to turn it around. I mean, he hasn't had a...
He's batting 111 against left-handers, you know, so it's just really not helping the team really at all. And so I feel like if this keeps up, Austin Slater is a candidate to be let go because we can't just keep having that spot in the lineup, particularly when he's starting or even off the bench against the left-hander late in the game. That's been his role and he hasn't been performing this year. So I just major disappointment in my book.
Right. No, I agree. A total disappointment. I will say this, though. He does have another role on the team, and if they got rid of him, they'd have to replace him. He is the union rep.
Does that make any difference, though?
No, but you just said he had only one role, and I was like, that's not
all right,
true.
All right, all right.
He's also the union rep, so like he's got two roles.
All right, I nominate Matt Chapman to fill that role.
Okay, good. I'm sure they'll care about that. All right. Just sounds like a bunch of like, you got to take meetings and do paperwork. That just sounds boring to me, but like, whatever. All right. Now, I want to talk about this last unforeseen challenges guy because he made me do something I didn't want to do.
Okay, what was that?
And that is drink a Negroni. And then I think about it every time he goes out there. And now I've started to think about all of his outings as Snelgroni outings.
Snelgronis,
yeah. Every time he sucks out there, it's another Snelgroni of an outing from one Blake Snell. And I don't know. I don't think unforeseen issues covers this one. This is disappointment. And I don't even think disappointment covers this one. This is major, major letdown. Major absolute disaster of a start. Like, the only good news here, folks, is Blake Snell's definitely going to be a Giant next year.
Yeah,
because there's no way he's following this season up with a long-term contract.
No.
He's going to be a Giant next year because no matter how well he pitches, it's not going to make up for this, especially after the injury. So major, major disappointment from Blake Snell. Couldn't possibly be any worse. Like, I would have rather seen, well, no, I guess it could have been Dalton Jeffries. So it could have been worse. Yeah. Okay.
But that's it. You had to put him on the list, right? Because Blake Snell has been the biggest disappointment on the Giants this year. And his injury only added insult to that, to his play. All right. Finally, Ben, maybe a couple of nice surprises before we wrap it up. Jung-Hoo Lee, you know, I think, is it fair to say he was surprised? I mean, I as much as I was hoping he would be good, I didn't think he was going to be this good. And it's so much fun to watch him play. And I feel like he deserves some accolades. So I created a special slot for him.
You definitely did. This is the most improved award for the first month. you could have done the thing. What is that millennial award that everybody gets all angry about? Oh, the participation award. You could have given up a participation award.
But he's better than a participant. He's better than okay. that.
Yeah, no, I agree. Quite frankly, you know what? His batting average isn't as high as I had wanted it to be and hoped it would be and thought it would be. So to me, that's a little bit disappointing. But no, I mean, there's been certainly flashes of greatness. And I think he's definitely proving that he can play at the major league level. And I think he's only going to get better. So, yeah. But I'm not surprised.
How about last one, Eric Miller?
I'm always surprised when a lefty reliever throws 100 miles an hour.
Well, sure. And from a guy that was kind of buried in the depth chart going into spring training to his emergence as one of the key parts of the bullpen and really stabilizing some of that middle of the road, especially as Taylor Rogers has struggled a little bit. I think Eric Miller is a great addition and been a nice surprise. And I think that that's something that they can build on as they're looking to, you know, still kind of find all the pieces for that bullpen.
Right. The Miller-Rogers kind of order and roles might be an interesting story to watch for the rest of the season for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ben. Well, we're getting to the end here. I think it's time that we wrap this up with the trivia question answer. The question was, what two players share the 9th and 10th spots on the all-time Giants stolen base list with 263 stolen bases? You said
Rickard Fenita and Tsuyoshi Shinjo.
And both are wrong. The answer is Bobby and Barry Bonds. And I thought that was kind of cool that father and son have the exact same number of stolen bases for the Giants at 263, both making the top 10. So I thought that was cool.
That is pretty cool. Yeah, that's cool.
Looking ahead to next week, we've got Monday off, and then we're going to be in Boston for the middle part of the week. And where are the Boston Red Sox? They are 15-13 in third place in the American League East. So yeah, it should be a good series, I think. It'll be interesting to see it. And it's always fun to see Yaz return to Boston. So I expect Yaz to have a big series.
And I believe this is the Giants' longest road trip of the year. They are playing, this is a 10-game road trip, which will be their longest of the year. They have a 9-game road trip, I think, as their last road trip of the year. So, yeah, this is their longest time away.
Wow. That's all right. Well, we'll see how they do. Hopefully they can, that old adage, play 500 on the road. Hopefully they can continue to do that. Famous Giants that have played for the Red Sox. My all-time favorite player, Jack Clark. Actually, he's not my all-time. He was my very first favorite player, Jack Clark. Also played for the Red Sox. JT Snow. And of course, Panda. All played for the Red Sox. Maybe Red Sox fans would like to forget that Panda played for the Red Sox. Ben, your favorite all-time catcher, A.J. Pierzynski, also played for both the Red Sox and the Giants.
One of my very favorite third basemen, Bill Miller. That's won a batting title. Won a batting title with them and was part of the Reverse the Curse team.
That's right. That's right. Interesting enough, too, Juan Marichal also played for the Boston Red Sox in his second to last season. We won't even talk about who the last team he was to play for. All right.
Yeah.
That's all we got, folks. Don't forget to follow us on the socials at Giant Cocktails on the platform formerly known as Twitter, on Threads, Instagram, and Mastodon. Also, don't forget to watch us on YouTube or listen to us, I guess, on YouTube is more accurately. You can leave comments there. You can subscribe there and hit the little bell button to get notified when our podcasts go live. Also, don't forget to rate and review us on the podcast listener of your choice. Especially if it's a good one, really helped the show. Ben, it's been good chatting with you. We'll see you next time. Cheers, my friend.
Cheers, Matthew. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to the Giant Cocktails Podcast. Until next time, bottoms up.
All right. Now I got to go feed two preteens and go see some concert of some Instagram star that I've never heard of.
Oh, you're going to the concert?
Yeah, because, you know, they're 12 years old, so I got to go into the concert.
Bullshit. That's bullshit.
Ethan Bortnick, man. And actually, he plays the piano, so how hard can it be? How bad can it be, right? I mean,
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, playing the piano is very hard. But
yeah, that's hard. But it's actually how the listening part, I'm actually
Listening part, yeah, he might be nice. Might be nice. Yeah, got it.